Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Monday, September 25th, 2023. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisor Special Agent Darren Mott. And I would like to say that over the weekend, cybercrime came to a standstill and nothing happened, but that would not be the case as I have six articles here to talk about. So it looks like six is going to kind of be the touch point for most of these particular podcasts. Did more stuff go on? Absolutely. I highly recommend you find all sorts of cyber news sources, cyber intelligence sources to get all sorts of other information. But a couple of these articles showed up in multiple of my news feeds, so I figured they were worth talking about. As always, if you have news feeds or locations for cyber news that you like, pass them along. I will add them to the list and start culling through all of their information. But let's get right into it. From bleepingcomputer.com, Sergio Gatlin reporting, National Student Clearinghouse data breach impacts 890 schools. U.S. educational nonprofit National Student Clearinghouse has disclosed a data breach affecting 890 schools using its services across the United States. Now, before I read any more, this is an important piece. This is a nonprofit, right? Nonprofits have very lax securities because they don't have money to pay for it. I actually talked to a guy at the Cyber Summit that we talked exactly about nonprofits. And so that episode will come out in the coming weeks on the Cyber Guy podcast. But this is certainly an issue for all nonprofits, is that bad guys know you have information or you have money and they're going to steal it if you are not in a place to protect it. So that's my rant over. And you will not be surprised as I go on here how this happened, but in a breach notification letter filed with the Office of the California Attorney General, the clearinghouse said the attackers gained access to its MoveIt managed file transfer server on May 30th and stole files containing a wide range of personal information. Now, in their defense, the vulnerabilities didn't come out till June, so they wouldn't have known they were there. They were 0 days, so, you know, it is what it is. But obviously, Clop is the ransomware gang behind most of these, likely the gang behind this. It says, personally identifiable information contained in the stolen documents include names, dates of birth, contact information, social security numbers, student ID numbers, and some school-related records. So all this could be obviously used for exploiting the companies that stored the 890 organizations here that were impacted, or 890 schools rather. So, you know, they could extort the schools, extort the students. If you have a student in college, you need to immediately go and basically, for lack of nothing else, freeze their credit agency reports. The Equifax, TransUnion, and the third one escapes me, but there's three of them. So go in and freeze their credit so that if in the event someone who wants to do identity theft, stuff like that, it'll be very hard to do anything because their credit scores will be frozen. Unless they're, you know, when they need to buy a house, need to buy a car, you can reopen it, but costs nothing to freeze them. So I highly, 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 highly recommend you do that quite quickly. From darkreading.com, this is an important one. If you are an Apple user, Apple fixes three more zero-day vulnerabilities. All of these security bugs are under active attack, but the extent of their exploitation is unknown. So there's 0 days, bad stuff can happen, but they're not exactly sure what bad stuff. So in an emergency security update, Apple has identified three zero-day vulnerabilities affecting iPhones and Mac products that are actively being exploited. So I'm actually going to check, as we're doing this, I'm going to check my phone here real quick and see if I have an update. Or if I've already updated, I have auto update on. If I go to software update, it says, yes, I have an update. It's going to be iOS 16.7. So as this, we're talking, I'm going to actually start that particular download of that app. So go ahead and download and install. So there you go. I'm updating my phone as we speak. So you should all do the same. Again, the problem here is going to be obviously that bad guys are going to figure out how to use these exploitations or these vulnerabilities rather and get into your iPhone, get into your phone if you do the wrong thing. So you should certainly update that. These issues are fixed in iOS 16.7, iPad OS 16.7, operating system, or OS 17.0.1, and some other ones. So if you have an Apple product, go check your settings. If you have auto settings set up, it may ask you to update now. Go ahead and update now. I'm actually doing this particular podcast on an iMac, and I do have an update. If I look over, there is an update there. So I will be doing that at the conclusion of putting this podcast out. So you want to make sure you do that. From the Hacker News, Dead Glyph, a new advanced backdoor with distinctive malware tactics is the title. And I'm reporting on this one simply because I saw it in like four different news places. So this was kind of the first one I saw, so I tagged it real quick. Cybersecurity researchers have discovered a previously undocumented advanced backdoor dubbed Dead Glyph, employed by a threat actor known as Stealth Falcon as part of a cyber espionage campaign. Now, who named that threat actor Stealth Falcon? Hard to know if it's Mandy at CrowdStrike or whoever. So chances are CrowdStrike, Mandy, and all of the normal players have a different name for it, but it is what it is. Dark Glyphs, from the article, architecture is unusual as it consists of cooperating components, one a native x64 binary, the other a .NET assembly. According to someone they talked to, who talked to the Hacker News. This combination is unusual because malware typically uses only one programming language for its components. The difference might indicate separate development of those two components while also taking advantage of unique features of the distinct programming languages they utilize. So Stealth Falcon was first exposed by the Citizen Lab in 2016, linking it to a set of targeted spyware attacks in the Middle East aimed at journalists, activists, and dissidents in the UAE using spear phishing lures, embedding booby trap links pointing to macro lace documents to deliver a custom implant. So obviously this only worked because someone clicked a link. As I like to say, malware happens because someone always clicks a link. Now, fortunately, let's see what else it says here. The exact method used to deliver the implant is currently unknown, which is not good, but the initial component that activates its execution is a shellcode loader that extracts and loads shellcode from the Windows registry. That's just a lot of technical stuff that we don't really talk about too much here. Let's see if there's a way to get around it. There is not. So this is new. So look for patches to this coming out. So be aware. If you go to the Hacker News article, there's actually a pretty good visual that showed you kind of how that happened. So you can go take a look at that. From Wired. Again, the $5 I paid for Wired really paying off here. This is going to be data shows the scale of U.S. Kia and Hyundai car thefts enabled by critical vulnerability. So as you may be aware, certain cities are wanting to blame car theft raises on the ability for people to get into U.S. Kia and Hyundai cars. So in this article, and I'm only making this point because if you have a Kia or Hyundai, you can probably get around these problems by updating the vulnerabilities. But let's be honest, car owners are probably the last people who are updating their operating system in their car unless they go to the dealer and ask them to do it. But Kia and Hyundai cars have been plagued for years by vulnerabilities and simply missing protective features in their anti-theft systems that make the cars far too easy to steal. Recently, the companies have been attempting to distribute updates to remedy the situation, but the flaws have already resulted in skyrocketing car theft rates. And the problem being, it's not easy to update your car. You have to get a thumb drive. Actually, I take that back. It is kind of easy because most of them have apps and you can connect the phone to your car, go to the app for your car, your Kia or Hyundai, and then simply make the update. Now, is that going to fix the problem? God only knows. I guess time will tell. But if you are a Kia or Hyundai owner, update your car. Find the Hyundai Kia app, connect it to your car, download the update, have it updated. At least, you know, it will give you some protection. This is going to be from Security Affairs. Recently patched Apple in Chrome 0 days exploited to infect devices in Egypt with predator spyware. So again, I make the point here. We talked earlier about there's Apple 0 days. Here's bad guys finding zero-day exploits in Apple and Chrome, because all the browsers recently updated as well. If you go back and listen to a couple of the earlier episodes from last week, there were Firefox, Chrome, and Edge all had updates because of 0 days on there. So this is reporting is Perlugi Paganini. I've seen to talk about him a lot. Citizen Lab and Google's tag revealed this is just threat awareness group. Threat analysis group. Sorry. Revealed that the three recently patched Apple 0 days we talked about earlier were used to install Crytox Predator spyware. So researchers from Citizen Lab and Google's tag revealed that the three 0 days addressed were used to install spyware. Basically it does talk about what those particular vulnerabilities do. You can certainly go see that if you want more information on that. So again, the point being, those 0 days I just talked about are now being used. Now they're being used, obviously it says in Egypt, right? So maybe it's a targeted group that these guys are looking for. But the point being, it's just a matter of time before other people take these vulnerabilities, other bad guys, and use them against people outside of Egypt and other areas. So if you have an Apple device, update it, update your Chrome browser, I will update, turn on auto updates on everything you have. Honestly, that's all I can really say to that. And lastly, from CSOonline.com, John Gold reporting, insider risks are getting increasingly costly. And I make this point because the biggest problem for most companies are insider threats. Now, insider threats could be someone in your system who hacked in and are in your system doing bad stuff, but there's also obviously going to be those individuals who already have access to your systems who turn bad for whatever reason. They're either bribed or they're looking to go and steal your information, but you have to understand that insider threat has got to be your biggest risk. So the potential monetary losses from security incidents caused by insider activity, purposeful or accidental, as I mentioned, is sharply on the rise as businesses continue to misunderstand the threats they pose. And there's more in this article. Certainly go read. I'm just kind of hitting the headline here, but So the company Ponemon did a survey, and they're the ones who kind of came out with this. They classified insider threats into three categories. First, threats that arose because of malicious insiders looking to harm the company, like disgruntled employees. Second, threats that arose because an outside attacker smouted a vulnerable employee who was taken in by a phishing scam or similar, because someone always clicks a link. Finally, the most costly, the report described negligent or mistaken insiders who ignored warnings from security systems. So that's going to be obviously the problem. The bigger issue is those people just don't know what they're doing. They're not trained correctly, and then they do bad things. So more than half, or 55% of money spent on insider incident response, went towards problem caused by negligence or mistakes, which is interesting, compared to 20% for novel attacks that simply outsmarted business staff or IT. That's going to be your MGM example. And 25% of those caused by malicious insiders. This means that security teams, the report authors asserted, could save a lot of money by focusing on detection and prevention. Obviously. Now, the problem here is, obviously, it's easy to say that's how you prevent it. The problem is someone's got to pay for it, right? So in the final estimate, the study found that 10% of insider risk management budgets were spent on pre-incident outlays, roughly $64,000 per incident. The remaining $565,363 per incident went towards containment, remediation, investigation, incident response. This is one of those things where if you spend money on prevention, education, things like that, you will save money in the long run because you don't have to deal with the incident once it occurs. So again, this is a good article. Go CSO Online. Again, as always, all of these articles are linked in the show notes, so you can go read them if you so choose. That's going to do it for the news for today. A quick look at some important topics that I think need to be talked about. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have thoughts, comments, suggestions on this morning news update, email me, Darren@thecyberguy. Look for The Cyber Guy on Facebook, Instagram, Substack, X. I think I've hit all the social media things there. Am I a big social media prolificator? It's not even a word. I am not. I do what I can when I can, when I think about it. But the best place to find me is on LinkedIn, LinkedIn-IN-DarrenMott, DarrenMott. Know that if we understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely, because knowledge is protection. Thanks so much for listening. Check out my other podcast, The Cyber Guy podcast, and check out my Substack for some of my writings. I'll do a little bit more of that as the week goes in. Otherwise, have a safe rest of your Monday. We will talk again tomorrow morning for the Cyber Smart Morning News Update.
Cyber Smart Morning News is written and produced by Cyber Guy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com. Or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.